I remember. I remember Memorial Day in my little New England hometown. We gathered in the cemetery. The high school marching band would play patriotic tunes. The American Legion would fire three volleys in memory of the fallen. And Lieutenant Colonel John McCrae's famous poem from World War I would be read out by an aged veteran. In Flanders Field, the poppies grow. Between the crosses, row on row, that mark our place, and in the sky the larks still bravely singing fly, scarce heard amidst the guns below. The poet remembers. The poet remembers, and through him we can all remember something that we never saw. The gunfire must have been so loud that night. The gunfire must have been so loud, the smell of sulfur so strong as it hung in the air. The shells were bursting, the ground was collapsing, and the horses were whinnying in the last great stand ever for the mounted cavalry. On the battlefields of Flanders County, Belgium, in the final days of that war that was said to end all wars, the Battle of Ypres was raging. The gunfire must have been so loud that night. It must have seemed impossible that such a place could ever be the proving ground for freedom, the crucible of liberty. It must have seemed impossible that all this violence could ever lead to peace, that all this death could ever lead to life. In John's Gospel, a few verses before the passage that we read today, the disciples were having dinner with their Lord. Jesus turns to them and solemnly says, "Little children, I am with you only a little while longer. You will look for me, and as I said to the Jews, so now I say to you, where I am going, you cannot come." St. John remembers. St. John remembers, and through him we can all remember something that we never saw. The sorrow must have been so deep that night. The sorrow must have been so deep as Jesus turned his face towards Jerusalem and positioned himself for certain death. The authorities were angry, the holy city was in turmoil, and Jesus of Nazareth, the disciples' beloved friend and teacher, was striding right into the midst of it all. The sorrow must have been so deep that night. It must have seemed impossible that such a journey could ever be the way to salvation, a part of God's plan. It must have seemed impossible that all this violence could ever lead to peace, that all this death could ever lead to life. Jesus knew that the world into which he sent his disciples was frightening and dangerous. Thus he said in today's gospel, "I will not leave you orphaned." Jesus said, "I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate who will be with you forever. This is the Spirit of truth." St. John is the only biblical writer who describes the Holy Spirit as the advocate. But he leaves open the question of for what and to whom the advocate advocates. Some believe that the advocate is our representative to the Father. But I have become persuaded that the advocate speaks not to God for us, but to us for God. The advocate remembers. The advocate remembers, and through him we can all remember something that no one yet has seen, a world in which righteousness reigns, a world in which violence is banished. When Jesus returns to the Father, the advocate comes to help us remember to keep Christ's commandments. The advocate comes to help us remember our obligation to stand for peace and justice in every corner of the world. The advocate comes to help us remember that ours is a God who regularly brings new life where once there was only death. Consider again the poem with which we began. In Flanders field, the poppies grow between the crosses, row on row, that mark our place, and in the sky, the larks still bravely singing fly, scarce heard amidst the guns below. Listen to what we've just said. In Flanders field, the poppies grow. Aside from Alleluia, Christ is risen, I can think of no greater resurrection statement than this. That field that once was stained with the crimson red of blood, has given life to the carmine red of poppy flowers reaching for the sun. The larks are singing, the guns are silent, and there is peace in our time on Flanders Field. The poet does not invite us to dwell on death and destruction. Instead, he transports our hearts and our minds to that Belgian field so that he can tell us a story of new life. I wonder if there might not be a few poppies growing on Calvary's Hill this evening. Life springs up where once there was only death. We all remember. We all remember, and there is something about this act of remembering that stirs our hearts. With the benefit of hindsight, we can see with certainty that for which the original participants in these events could only have hoped. We see that God can and does work his plan in and through the depravity of war and the callousness of humanity. I do not mean to suggest that violence is always the pathway to peace, because it is not. The very presence of violence in any and every form is a sign that we are living in a fallen and broken world. But we do not pause this weekend to remember violence. No, instead, we pause to remember what God has been able to do in spite of human violence. Whether it is our weekly memorial of Christ's sacrifice on the cross or our annual memorial of our fallen heroes, we pause this weekend to remember those who heard the advocate's voice. We pause to remember those who saw a vision of what the world could be and laid down their lives in the hope that their vision could become a reality. Poppies did not grow in the green grass of my hometown cemetery. Instead, American Legion flags perforated the field, flapping next to the grave of every one of our veterans from every war in American history. Their vision was our reality. They found their rest, and we enjoyed their peace. Next to nearly every flag, in one form or another, was a cross. The flags drew our attention to those who had laid down their lives in the cause of freedom. The crosses drew our attention to the one who took up human life for the sole and exclusive purpose of being able to lay it down again in the cause of freedom. Until the day of our Lord's return, the epic struggle between good and evil will continue. We must live with the sad irony that violence is sometimes the only means to peace. But we keep as our goal a world in which violence is a thing of the past. We keep as our goal a world in which peace and goodness reign. And on this journey, we have the advocate as our guide. We have our Lord's promise that he will never leave us orphaned. And we have myriad examples of God overcoming death and restoring life. May we always remember. Amen.